to the legislative hotline to start with here and chat with Senator Keith Gaynor. It's our KOZI Community Connection. Let's say good morning to Senator Gaynor. Hi, sir.
Good morning.
How you doing, Keith?
Well, I'm good. It's 52 and very cloudy in Olympia, and it's usually raining.
Yeah.
So when I hear you talking about sunshine, I think, oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. It'd be nice to be over on this side, huh? and probably a little less contentious.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Hey, so here we are. It is Tuesday, and the budget is starting to roll on with both the Senate and the House, everyone coming up with their proposals. Where are you this morning as you start your day?
Well, actually, yesterday I was a part of the transportation budget rollout, and I've been sitting on the budget committee, and we did come up with a plan that would, you know, meet most of the needs. And when I say the needs, we still don't have what we'd really like to see because we've fallen so far behind. I do support the budget as it is. It does have new revenue in it. But honestly, this is one of the budgets that really invests in the hard assets of the state and something that everyone relies on, and that's good roads and bridges and ferries, and that's what we're trying to address. You know, finish the projects that are underway, try and get back on top of some of the maintenance and preservation shortfalls that we've experienced. And so even though there's revenue there, which means what we're talking about are adding to the gas tax and then raising fees, some of those fees haven't been raised in quite some time. And so it really is not, in my mind, you know, unreasonable, but it is the price to pay for having better roads. Now, having said that, it is a bipartisan budget, but when you do things negotiating, you don't always get what you'd like to see or have your priorities totally embraced, particularly since we're in the minority. But I feel like, you know, we had a good working relationship in getting through that. Now, what also happened yesterday was the operating budgets came out, and the Republicans had a budget here last week that said that we could continue with the size of government that we have without new taxes. And that's because we are anticipating $5 billion more in revenue than what we had in the last biennium. So we could cover all the commitments that we have currently. Well, the Democrats came out with their budget yesterday, which has significant, I think it was like 12 plus billion that in new taxes that they were talking about. And, you know, so there will be a lot of reconciliation that will take place here in the next couple of weeks if we're to get out of here by April 27th, which is the end of session.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's just a matter of right now just waiting and seeing how the negotiations work out between the House and the Senate.
Yes. Didn't want to interrupt there, Keith. Sorry about that. Chatting with our state Senator Keith Gaynor. And you mentioned $5 billion. Where do you think, does the budget that you're supporting, where does that money come from?
Well, it's actually the revenues based on the same revenue stream that we've had. We just have experienced that much more revenue. So it's not an issue of shortfall of revenue because it is coming in as projected. In fact, you know, somewhat. You know, it is still strong. The economy in the state of Washington is strong, but what the state government has done is overcommitted that revenue. And when you do that, obviously, if you're making promises that you can't keep, you've got to come up with money somewhere, and that's where the new taxes come in.
Gotcha. Okay, so promises you can't keep. Looks like when it comes to transportation, you're trying to make sure we keep those promises on roads, rail, buses, transit, everything we need to do to keep us going along.
Well, we're trying to do that, but even having said what I was laying out about the unfinished projects, those projects that are on the books, that, you know, in the future, we are delaying even the start of those in order to try and stay within, you know, the funding constraints that we have.
And so one of the things we have to do is balance things, and you just start things a little bit later is what you're saying.
Yes, and we'll have to. But as I mentioned, too, with the the deterioration of our roads and bridges, those are the kinds of things that you have to keep up with, or the longer you wait to repair those things, the more costly it is. So we're trying to get kind of on top of the maintenance and preservation part of the transportation budget.
Keith, I'll let you go to which bill you think you want to talk about first as being a primary concern to you outside of the transportation budget committee that you're working on.
Well, the one I had actually two bills yesterday were passed out of committee, which means they will be in rules, which puts them right in line to be, on the floor and voted on, and they could become law. And one of them is Bill 5471, which is actually a middle housing bill, and all it does is allow for middle housing, which means up to a fourplex, to be built in local areas of more intense rural development or urban growth areas that have water and sewer. So I'm hopeful that it just will create a housing option. I don't see it as being something that will really transform the landscape, but what we're trying to do here in this session is create housing options for people that meet within, basic planning and wherever there's an opportunity to build a single family residence in those areas, you could in turn build a middle housing, which could be a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex. And then the other bill has to do with energy, which is something that is kind of a little protection for local governments when they're siting solar farms or wind farms. There are times when the local governments are involved, and they have been actually subject to lawsuits when people are appealing some of the projects. And this just bill says that local governments, if they're just providing technical assistance, they are basically not subject to appeal. And so that, as I said, provides some local protection for the governments that are actually helping in giving good information for siting these energy facilities.
Chatting this morning with Senator Keith Gaynor on our legislative hotline this morning. Senator, you chatted about your housing bill, Senate Bill 5471. There's a House bill. You think you'll find some common ground between the two?
Well, I think the way it is right now, the bill that I have, which came out of the Senate, I mean, sometimes when you have companion bills, they choose one to be the driver. And in this case, I think it's my bill that is actually going forward, and the other bill did not make it out of the House. So I'm hopeful that we'll get that taken care of so that local governments have that protection.
Well, that's some good news. Good news there.
Yeah.
Senator, anything else? Maybe parental bill of rights?
Yes, it came out of the House. The Senate. It went to the House. The House was just having a public hearing on that parental rights bill. And when we talk about parental rights, it really does address the things that the initiative was to put in statute. And it really troubles me that, parents are not being kept in the loop as to what is happening with their kids. They could be, basically shut out. And to me as a parent, when our kids were in school and even now with our grandkids, I would feel for any parent that doesn't have full knowledge of what their kids are dealing with. And as a teacher, I was always trying to engage the parents because, for good education, you need everybody on board. And, parents need to know when their kids are doing well, when they're having issues. And whether these are academic issues or social issues or whatever, it's really paramount. It's a paramount duty of the school to make sure that those parents are engaged with their kids' education.
And, of course, the whole idea is making a difference for those students.
Right. And this parental rights bill basically is not, it's kind of undermining parental rights because it gives the school the latitude to determine what they want to basically disclose to the parents. There's some things that we did get as amendments. I'm not sure what might happen in the House, whether it'll be amended, but we did get the medical necessity type thing where, yes, you must let the the parents know and not delay, you know, 24 or 48 hours before parents know what's what's going on with their kids. So I guess it'll be a wait and see part with that. As it comes out of committee, it'll go to the floor. It may be changed again. And that's the thing with legislation. What you start with and what you end with in a particular bill may be totally different. But I'm hopeful that they do make good changes to it so that it is keeping the parents in the loop.
And, of course, that's the same thing with the budget. You've got one side, you've got the other. We got to reach across and find that common ground.
Right.
All right, Senator Keith Gaynor, thank you so much for the time. I know you got to get out and get in there to the good battle. We appreciate you calling in. Any last comment?
No, it's just great to have the opportunity to talk with your listening audience, and I just encourage them to stay engaged and let us know of any concerns that you have. We appreciate your input.
That's right. You could go to Senator Keith Gaynor's website and give him a question, and you'll be glad to answer it. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate your time this morning.